Hello, and welcome to the Data Developments podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Liam Donoghue. In this show, I'll be chatting to data experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes, and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own careers. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify, or you can join our Slack community. Thank you. Enjoy the show. Hey there, you're tuned in to another episode of the Data Developments podcast from Venturi's Voice. Today's guest is the Chief Data Officer, never ever to be mistaken for a Chief Digital Officer, Dr. Vlasios Vadouris. Morning, Vlasios. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.
So we're going to be doing a deep dive into AI and ML analytics today, and we'll be chatting about their role in financial and commodities markets. But before we get into the show proper, could you tell our listeners a bit about your career and the decisions you've made that have led you here today?
Sure. I actually started my career as an academic, and I was effectively, I did my PhD in what it was called back then informatics, but effectively my PhD was in analyzing data sets over a geographic space and time. After that, I started a few consultancy projects and including some work for the UK government. And then I did my own spin-out company, was basically commercializing a lot of the work that I developed over my career or my academic career. And then I worked for a bank where I developed the data science capabilities there. And now I am at Argus Media as the first chief data officer.
Cool. Excellent. So you've been with Argus Media for 16 months as their CDO. What does year one for a CDO in a new company look like? And what have you done to impact Argus Media's data strategy in that time?
Yeah, just to make sure that the audience are aware a little bit about Argus Media. Argus Media is effectively one of the price reporting agencies in the commodities area. So it's one of the leading companies in our space. It is extremely successful since the inception. So there is a lot of good work that Argus was doing with respect to commercializing the data sets. And one of the most important things we do is what we call the price assessments, which is we are illuminating the markets on a daily basis. So, which basically means that my work was at the first stage quite an interesting one, because you join a company that actually is doing quite well with respect to commercializing the data assets.
Excellent. Great. So we chat to a lot of CDOs on the show, and I think it's fair to say that the CDO's position in the C-suite is still quite a new one. A lot of guests we talk to are the first CDOs in their companies. Obviously, that comes with a lot of challenges. Can you talk us through them and how you overcame them?
Yes. So when you first join as a chief data officer, especially in a company which is already successful, the challenge is to discuss with the colleagues what it is the additionality that you will introduce to the company. And one of the key things that was an initial challenge to discuss with the colleagues was this idea that you can create additional data products based on the existing data assets that the company has, specifically Argus, and more importantly, by connecting data sets together that might have previously not thought as an important thing to do. So it is, if you like, this idea of creating new products, contributing to the growth, to the income growth of the company by effectively reusing existing assets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know that's something we wanted to talk about as well. You know, how is Argus using data science to develop new products? Or what products specifically, if you can tell us, have you created using data science, and what's the sort of overarching strategy for that?
Yes, so we follow what we call the principle of the price assessment. So what this means is that Argus has one of the key indexations and benchmarks in the area of crude and oil products. And based on that, we realize that there is a need to support risk managers and traders to understand the volatility in the market and the balance of risk. So what we did is that we built on the success of the existing product in order to create an additional service that our clients need, and we can basically fulfill that need given our expertise and data assets. So the idea was that how can you build a new product based on the success of the company rather than try to do something completely different that might be disconnected from the core value and expertise of Argos.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds really good. I'll take one little step back slightly, and I'd like to ask you one more question about obviously starting as a CDO in a company that's never had one before. We chat to a lot of, again, CDOs who are the first CDOs in their company, and they say a lot of what their challenges are in their first 100 days is implementing a culture of data. What's your sort of thoughts on that? Did you find that you had to change Argos's culture to be one that was more receptive to, like, a air quotes, data-driven approach?
I think that was not the problem that I faced at Argos. I faced that in the previous organizations. The reason is because Argos is largely a data-driven company. So effectively, what we really do is we look into the data sets and we try and we speak with the market participants trying to understand what moved the market. Mm-hmm. What I would say was a challenge is that move beyond that and effectively try to use data science and artificial intelligence in order to provide a differentiated view. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of introducing a data culture. It was more of a challenge of introducing a machine-human interaction within the organization that can augment what we already do well.
So, yeah, I mentioned something there as well, which was data-driven. And again, we've had a few CDOs on the role, and they find the term quite contentious. We shouldn't be data-driven organizations. We should be data-informed. Is that something that you agree with?
Yes, I would say data is the first step. But in my view, the most important thing is how do you support an organization the journey from data to insights? Mm-hmm. So if you have a bunch of data sets and you analyze it, but you don't really extract an insight that is actionable, then I will argue the value of that data set is not great. Mm-hmm. So the key thing is not focusing on the data per se, but it is focusing on actionable insights based on the data set that you have. And that creates a new, if you like, a lot of new challenges. In other words, which data set can you pull together? How do you integrate conventional data with alternative data? What type of machine learning techniques can you use to answer which type of specific questions? And how can you then communicate that insight in a way that the decision makers can actually use it? And that's in my view, should be the focus these days.
Yeah, great. Before we dive into data science and its roles in the commodities market, can you give us a general overview of the role data science is playing in financial markets in a broad sense?
Yes, sure. From my perspective, I think data science has some successes within the financial and commodity markets, but I think we are at the very beginning of that journey. Yes, we have the classical successes we know from Google, Facebook, but I think in financial services is quite difficult to come up with a machine learning product that can consistently help investors make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the challenges we try to address within Argos. So that's something that it's something a lot of people they try to address, but we still don't have, like, in my view, a dominant player in the market that has actually managed to do that consistently and over time.
So, yeah, let's get onto the data science, I'd say, boom in the commodities market. I'm going to reference a LinkedIn article here I read on Friday when I was doing a bit of research for the show. It was from March 2018, so it may be a bit out of date, but I'll put the link in the show notes for anybody who wants to read up on it. One of the driving arguments of the article was machine learning is prevalent in equity trading, but its use in commodities can be more challenging. Can you tell us why that is?
Yes, the first thing in the commodity market is that the data set, the volume of the data set is not that great. Mm-hmm. So usually you hear the problem of big data and how can you enhance data science algorithms in order to analyze better big data. I will argue in a lot of the commodity markets, there is quite a lot of sparse data. So the question is that how can you adjust or optimize data science algorithms for sparse data? The second thing I will argue is that the commodity markets is driven, it used to be driven by fundamentals, which basically means supply, demand, inventory levels. Yeah. But actually these days it's also driven by market sentiment. It's driven by the position of the money managers. So it makes life a little more difficult because of the combination of this, of all of these things I discussed, like the sentiment, fundamentals, and the idea of sparse data.
Right. And again, what am I right in saying? Some of the difficulty also stems from ML's inability to solve problems that aren't independent and identically distributed questions.
So that's something that we work in this area for quite a long time. So I will argue this is not necessarily the most difficult thing for us. Mm-hmm. The most difficult really is the idea that you might not necessarily have big data set, a lot of data set to capture long business cycles so that you can effectively extract the signal from the data in a consistent way. And I really insist on the idea of the long business cycles because the commodity industry is actually moving in cycles. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if your data set is only for the last couple of years, then you might have the challenge of creating an algorithm that is biased towards, if you like, the last couple of years and ignoring what has happened in the past. And sometimes the past is useful.
Great. Also, can you talk to me a bit more about the role that feature engineering plays in commodities markets?
Oh, yeah, that is exceptionally important, actually. There is an innovation you can do with respect to the algorithms, and that's something that, in my view, for commodity markets plays an important role. But one of the most important roles is the feature engineering. And the way I describe feature engineering is the idea of creating useful data set from existing data set by merging market intuition. So what we really do in that area is that we glue together different data sets, mm-hmm. and we speak with the market participants and understand what are the kind of things it affects the market. So we try to do some sort of a survey or collecting, if you like, storylines of what they think moves the market now. And then based on the data sets and the market stories, we basically create features. Mm-hmm. And that features effectively, if you do that well, it really helps you quite a lot in creating a product that illuminates the markets. So if you notice, I really mentioned about market intuition. And I think that might be something important. In my view, this is really overlooked from a lot of the projects that I am aware of within the area of data science, is the idea that it should not just be a data set and a machine learning algorithm, but it should also include the market intuition from the people who are active in the market.
Excellent. Thanks for that. So in your opinion, what are the three biggest ways machine learning has affected the commodities trading market?
Over the last couple of years, we have seen effectively the democratization of the data sets. And what the democratization is actually doing is making available data set to a large number of market participants, which basically means that the alpha you can extract from the data set is reduced. And what I really see that is emerging in the commodities area is this idea of alternative data and proprietary machine learning tools. And if you manage to do both of them at the same time, then this is where you can see a lot of the value. So what I mean by alternative data set, you need to have a data set that is unique. So for example, within Argus, we have what we call the deals data. So the deals data is a data set that we record about the volume and the prices that are traded for the commodities that we cover. And that data set is only available to price reporting agencies. And then you can actually take a data science algorithm and customize it based on the way we understand the market works. And technically speaking, we do that by imposing some constraints on the algorithm. So we take the market intuition, we impose specific constraints on the algorithm to satisfy the market conditions, and then we use a proprietary data set with public data set in order to train our models. So it's how you glue the three things together that is important.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for the answer. Next, where do you see AI and machine learning in relation to the commodities market in the next 15 years? You know, what's on the horizon? What big developments do you think are going to be driven by them too? That's really going to affect the commodities market.
I think the first one I will say is that the data science, the next couple of years, maybe up to 5 or 6 years ahead, it will play a lot of impact in terms of trying to understand what might happen in the future. So some sort of a thing about predictive analytics. But I think over the next 10 to 15 years, the key idea will be of decision intelligence. How can we use our understanding of the future in order to decide what are the best actions we can make today. So it will move, if you like, from predictive analytics to decision intelligence.
So something we wanted to speak about as well was market intuition in data science. I know you mentioned to me that not a lot of people are working on them ideas. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So if you take a data science algorithm, an existing data science algorithm, and a unique data set, and you try to understand what are the things that move the market, one of the things you realize very quickly is that the algorithm comes up with the relationships that are not necessarily compatible with how we understand the market works today. So an event can happen somewhere, a blow up of a pipeline, or something might happen with a tanker in the Middle East, and that has the capacity to effectively create the wrong signal from the machine learning algorithm. So how then can you ensure that the data science algorithm is extracting the long-term signal rather than is affected by one-off events? And one of the things we found really useful is effectively to talk with the people who are market participants, collect their understanding of how the market works today, and effectively including that information inside the algorithm. So basically customizing the algorithm for the specific market you cover. And for the more technical audience, one way to do that is you can impose, for example, monotonicity constraints on the relationship that you are expecting. So what this means is that if the relationship, for example, you expect to be positive, but the data set suggests that the relationship is negative, then the algorithm will basically exclude that driver as part of your training universe. And I think this is quite important, is that integrating within the algorithms the market intuition from the people who are active participants in the market and try to glue together the two is a key challenge today.
Obviously, you're using big data and data science here to predict, you know, commodities trading.
We are using data science to predict the market uncertainty.
So do you have a product that's available for businesses or individuals today that they can use to better make informed decisions about investing in commodities?
So one of the reasons why I cannot give you details about exactly how we do that is because our product will become available into the market in Q4 2019. Mm-hmm. So the next basically 3 months we will launch the product.
Yeah.
And that's the key reason why some of my answers are a bit too generic.
No, that's all right. Well, it's something to look forward to. You heard it here first. The conversation's been really interesting today. If there are some listeners who are interested in learning more about AI and ML's role in commodities markets, can you give us a few further reading recommendations?
Yeah, sure. I will suggest that if you look on LinkedIn, right? So there is a lot of people from the industry who post various articles mm-hmm. about how they are implementing things within the organization. And I would suggest LinkedIn could be a quite good starting point. Mm-hmm. From a more educational perspective, I like the course on statistical learning from Stanford. Mm-hmm. I think it gives you a good starting point for you to understand what it is possible. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is basically if you have a programming language that you prefer, like that might be R or that might be Python, effectively go and see what other people are actually posting about the problems they try to solve. So there's three areas. One is you build your basic background by actually attending an academic course. Mm-hmm. The second one is you read articles written by people who are trying to address problems right now. And the third is just follow some sort of a blogs from the specific programming language you like and see how people address specific problems using that language.
Excellent. Cheers. Thank you so much. That's been a really, really interesting discussion this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. And I hope the podcast will be useful to your audience.
I'm sure it will.
Thank you for listening to this Venturi's Voice podcast. You can find links to any resources mentioned in the episode in the show notes on our website. If you enjoyed the show and want to hear more, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. We also have a Slack community, which you can join via the link on our homepage at venturi-group.com. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you again.